present episode 1 of Ballylennan by Christopher Fitzsimon. Ballylennan, County Donegal. Before the days of mass tourism, even before proper plumbing in every home. A quiet, uneventful kind of place. The Londonderry and Lough Swilly Railway still delivered its half-dozen passengers a day at the little wooden station. And nobody ever dreamed of seeking their weekly news anywhere but in the pages of the Vindicator. But the unsuspecting traveller would very quickly have learned of Miss Vera McConkie, operator of the 10-line manual exchange, and of her sister Muriel, shopkeeper and secretary of the local development association. Ballylennan, June 1953.
Hello, Ballylennan call office. Number, please. Hello? Hello? Och. Would you credit that?
What's that?
There's been phones here in Ballylennan, Muriel, for 25 years, and there's still people doesn't know how to use them.
Sure, you're always saying that, Vera.
Are you doing any business out there in the shop?
The man from Lemons was in. I ordered 6 jars of bullseyes and a box of dry batteries for the wireless. Oh, and the doctor's wife was looking for a tin of spaghetti.
I better order it. If we don't, she'll be sitting into the Wolseley and off to Letterkenny to the new supermarket. We must keep up with the times.
She's gone off to Letterkenny anyway to watch the coronation in Westminster Abbey.
Westminster Abbey?
On the television.
Well, I suppose that's keeping up with the times. Hello, Ballylennan call office.
Hello, Miss McConkie. Is your sister out in the shop?
No, she's beside me here in the call office, Mr. Doherty.
Well, the meeting of the development committee's tonight, and I need a word with her about it, you know.
Muriel, Fonzie Doherty.
Is that you, Fonzie?
How are you, Muriel?
I have the agenda written out, Fonzie. I put the old courthouse down at the end.
Oh, the four will be flying for that.
What's that?
Our dear is listening in on the switchboard.
It's time that courthouse was demolished.
Mind you, there's them as wouldn't like to see the old courthouse go.
That Vivian Bowl has more education than sense.
That's the worst of having a teacher on the committee.
They say William of Orange stabled horses there. Or was it Cromwell? Well, she's sure set on preserving the building.
There's more to life than history, you know.
You might have to put it to a vote.
That old ruin is responsible for keeping the trade away from my hotel. Hundreds of tourists driving in from Letterkenny or Kilmacrenan would be prevented from catching sight of the Swilly Arms because that monstrosity's in the way.
But is it only an eyesore?
And a traffic hazard, too.
And tourism's the coming thing. I was reading on the Vindicator. There's a dozen holiday homes to be built down at Grotty's Quay.
Aye. Wee Stompy Bonner was telling me. Someone got in there before me.
Well, it's time that old thing was knocked down. See, the carving of the Royal Arms is an insult to the people of Ireland.
It is, of course. And I need a site for a car park.
I don't know what way Canon Freel will vote to Fonzie.
Oh, you may be sure he'll abstain.
And Reverend Hawthorne will abstain too.
He'll say, I'll go along with what everyone believes is for the best.
Sure, that's the same as abstaining. And we'll end up the way we started out. No change.
But it has to be changed, Vera. We must keep up with the times.
Ladies, here's what I'm going to do. As chairman, I'll take the last item first. The courthouse. To take the wind out of the sails of any opposition.
Stout man, Mr. Doherty. I'm sorry I can't be there myself, but as you know, I've got to keep the exchange open until 10 on weekdays.
Look, aren't you the ever-open ears of Ballylennan?
I'll see you tonight, Fonzie.
Goodbye, Sue.
Oh, you'd be sorry, Barney.
Hasn't he a good business in the hotel? Though I must say he's let us slip a bit since the tractor died.
And the poor 7 children, how does he manage?
Oh, there's a customer out in the shop.
It's that darky commercial traveller, the one with the Persian straw mats.
Oh, Mr. Abdullah, well, you brought the fine weather with you from wherever it is.
Ballylennan call office. Hello? Hello?
Och.
Yes, we'll take the minutes as read, will we, Miss McConkie?
Yes, Mr. Doherty.
Miss Bowl.
Have we a quorum, Mr. Chairman?
3's a quorum.
I agree then.
I'll find them so. Aye.
There's an apology from Canon Freel. The housekeeper phoned. He's indisposed.
Ah, the poor man.
Which she said it was only a touch of wind and the nerves. And Mr. McMonagall can't be here naturally. There's a sitting of the house up in Dublin.
Still, if he never came, isn't it a great feather in our cap to have a Minister of State's name on our committee.
Reverend Hawthorne asked me to present his apology. He has a meeting of the elders. And if you'll excuse me, Chairman, I'll have to leave at 9:20 as they want me to play.
Is it the badminton or the ping-pong?
They always finish with a hymn.
There's nothing like the music, Miss Boland. Haven't you the great talent for it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and another thing, Mr. Chairman. My sister had a phone message from Guard Gallagher. He said he was looking for you all day.
I was in the hotel all day, and I wasn't out.
Well, he told my sister he's expecting a big turnout for the next meeting of the Gramophone Club. He's looking for the function room here, in your hotel.
Right. The Muckish Suite. Well, now, to business. I will, if I may, keep items 2 and 3 to the end. There's not much to say about them. And proceed to item 4, the Old Courthouse.
But, Mr. Chairman, I wish to know the latest on the rural electrification.
Your wish is granted, Miss Bowle. There'll be a public meeting on Wednesday fortnight with experts to explain it all. Oh, there's nothing like the electric.
Well, I, for one, will be sorry to see the last of the oil lamps. The electric can be very hard in the eyes. When you're reading, Mr. Chairman, by the electric, that is, you should close your eyes for 10 seconds every 15 minutes to rest them. I'll be doing a project on it with fifth class.
Ah, will you indeed? Yeah. Well, now, we all know, ladies and ladies, that Ballylennon is eligible for government money earmarked for improvements applicable to tourism. We all know we have the most beautiful scenery in the country. If not in the world.
Yes.
But there was a saying, and you know it, Mr. Conkey. You can't hate scenery.
Oh.
For a start, I've 7 grand bedrooms here in the hotel, and I'm getting Patsy McGoldrick to give them a lick of paint.
And you'll be putting in the H&C and all mod cons, I suppose?
Oh, aye, surely. People will come to stop a night or two, and they'll buy up everything in the shops. I mean, isn't that the road to progress and prosperity?
Prosperity? We'd have to guard against vulgarity.
Vulgarity?
Oil paint and show on the Poison Glen. Oh. And donkeys and wee fairies and the like.
But do the tourists love the wee fairies?
I'm sure Miss McConkey wouldn't stock anything vulgar, like those postcards they sell over in Blackpool, I hear.
No, no. Nothing salacious.
That's not what I meant. We have to protect our culture and our identity, you know.
Culture and identity is top of the list. Top of the list. And now, what about the courthouse? No tourist is going to stop 1 minute in Ballylennon with a rubbishy old ruin the leg of that standing for Nenstum in the middle of the street.
It's a disgrace.
It's more than a disgrace. It's a slur on the people of this town.
That's right. It's a despicable art.
It's got to go.
It's got to go.
May I have leave to speak, Mr. Chairman?
The floor is yours, Miss Bowle.
That old courthouse was designed 200 years ago by one of Ireland's foremost architects, Vitruvius McGarrigle. It stands on the site of a much older building. You'll find out all about it in my book, The History and Traditions of Ballylennon.
I have your book by the bed, Miss Bowle. It was a favourite reading of my late wife.
The Lord have mercy on her.
Thank you, Miss McConkey. But sure, Miss Bowle, isn't that building only history? What good is it to us?
It should be restored. It could be a centre for folk art or pottery classes. Something to lift the spirit.
And who'd pay for that, Miss Bowle? A building with no roof and the walls shaking every time the Moncrana bus changes gear.
There's another point.
Can I make a proposal so that we write to the county council to ask them to demolish it as 1, a dangerous building. 2, a traffic hazard. And 3, a health hazard.
Health hazard?
You'd never know what you might find inside it. Rats as big as cats, I hear.
The sculpture on the pediment is the work of the McElhattans, a local family of stonemasons, now extinct, alas.
If you blinked your eye, you wouldn't notice it.
The carving of the royal arms is a magnificent work of art.
The lion and that other yoke.
The unicorn.
Oh, look, I can't get politics and for this, Miss Bowler. Our articles forbid discussion of matters of a political nature.
Well then, Mr. Chairman, as I have to go now, I propose we adjourn the item till the next meeting, when we might have a larger attendance.
Well, I mean,
we must be responsible to the people, as the philosopher said.
Miss Bowler has a point. Will you second that?
Seconded.
Passed unanimously.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Miss Bowle.
Good luck now, Miss...
A cut of her in her wee blue costume.
I could have taken a vote, but You know, she had a point about the attendance.
Well, that old bit of carving she was going on about, the lion and the unicorn.
We'll get rid of the whole caboodle some way, you know.
Publicity. That's the answer to everything nowadays.
Publicity? You're right. Get the Vindicator on your side. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go down to the bar. I promised wee Stumpy Bonner I'd give him an account of the meeting.
I usually write out a short report for Stumpy, then we can't get anything wrong.
You do that, Muriel. But I'll have a chat with him. Stumpy likes to feel he's indispensable, and so he is. Huh? There's a lot on that head of his.
And it's a big enough head.
As you say, it's a big head for a wee low man.
Ballylennon call office. Hello? Hello? I'll wager that's the GPO in Dublin. They don't know how to use their own new automation.
Fancy was saying that prosperity will mean more people getting the phone. And you've been employing an assistant operator.
I'd have some flighty young one from the Pierce Villas listening in on my calls.
Time I open the shop.
Ballylennon call.
Hello, Miss McConkie.
Oh, Gerard Gallagher. I can't get that Dublin number you were looking for. Radio Erin, isn't it?
I'm looking for that one who does the operatic memories. Ethna Nee Fartalon. She says in a letter, wait till I tell you, she'll do a talk for the gramophone club on La Forza del Destino.
Really?
Isn't that a great catch? Ethna Nee Fartalon. I should bring her own records, too.
The number's still unattainable. Lovely.
You can't beat the bowl, Verdi.
Give me a buzz later on, Gard.
Goodbye, Miss McConkie. Pace mio
Dio. Goodbye, then. Sometimes I think Gard Gallagher will be taken away in a van by two men in white coats. Oh, Muriel, there was a call for you when you were out at Devotions, the Irish Times.
You say the Irish Times?
They read Stumpy Bonner's bit about the courthouse and the Vindicator. They're sending a reporter to cover the controversy, he said.
That's very good news, Vera. We'll get our space in first.
They're sending, where have I written down? Oh, yes, R.L. Watson, architectural correspondent on the train on Wednesday morning. I told them you had to change it to Dundalk's the van and Letterkenny, but they knew all that.
I get Fancy to meet the reporter in the car before anyone else hears about it. We could bring him to talk to Cannon Freel.
Cannon Freel's too ill to see anybody. I hear he can't put his 2 feet to the floor.
I hope Reverend Hawthorne doesn't hear about this.
Well, if Vivian Bowle doesn't hear about it, he won't.
I just asked the men not to force. Let it come naturally. Thank you all. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Mr. Hawthorne, may I have a word with you, please?
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Reverend.
Good night.
This postcard came from the Irish Times. They must know my name from my book. They want to interview me about the courthouse. Their architectural correspondent, R.L. Watson, is coming.
Coming.
I think it important that he meets the right people.
Right people. Well, you're the expert on local history.
The fact is, the building was erected by the previous administration. The royal arms are on the pediment. That gives about a 60 or 70% lead to those who want it knocked down.
Well, you know, I have to keep well out of the road of controversy.
And there could be plenty. Did you read Mr. Botner's paragraph in The Vindicator? Oh. Mr. Doherty has that malicious wee midget in his pocket. Oh, sorry.
The Lord will forgive, Miss Bowle. I have to admit, it was I alerted the Irish Times when I saw the one-sided report on the courthouse in The Vindicator. I thought another view should be expressed. I dropped a line to the editor.
Well, if I were to meet this reporter at the station and bring him to the manse for a cup of tea, nothing need be said. I could bake some rock buns and bring them over. Then I could take him to inspect the building.
Or some of your cream puffs.
Food for the body and food for thought, Mr. Hawthorne.
Better for us to welcome this reporter off the train with a smile. See, he could banjax us in his article.
Surely he'll say the courthouse is a despicable article.
No,
We can get that building demolished, and a car park for the hotel put in its place. I'll make it up to you.
Oh, I know you will, Fonsy.
And do you know what you could put over to the side? A roundabout.
A funfair?
A traffic roundabout.
Oh, yes.
You see, the cars come at it from all sides, going in the one direction. And I put up a big sign for the hotel in the center of it all.
I've a feeling there's great times ahead.
You and me could run this place, Muriel.
The hotel?
Well, I didn't mean that exactly, but it's a thing to keep in mind. Oh, your sister has a good brain, too. Oh.
She rises to the responsibility of running the exchange. No news passes nearby. When Dada, the Lord be good to him, was dying below in St. Joseph's, he said I was to get the shop and Vera was to get the concession for the exchange. He knew she had the brains.
But you have plenty of the same yourself, Muriel. The poor missus is always saying that, you know.
Dada, you see, being a county councillor, needs to be certain we keep the exchange.
Oh, a valuable source of information.
Yeah. Oh, look. The train. The train's in. That is Reverend Hawthorne. I wonder who he'll be meeting. Stop here by the engine shed, Fonsy.
He's meeting a woman.
Don't be looking at them. They might think we were spying.
She's a right lassie, whoever she is.
Would she be his sister?
Clergymen don't have sisters like that.
Of course, Reverend Hawthorne's very eligible. I can think of a few young ladies in his congregation who won't be too pleased to see that one.
Look the other way, Muriel. Do you see what I see?
That's Miss Bowles' wee blue car.
And who's she meeting?
Our reporter. She's captured our reporter, Fonsy.
I have to say, I think you're right.
Duke down and open the window.
You're very welcome to Valley Lennon. I hope you had a good journey.
Good morning, Hugget.
I beg... My car's just over there.
The reporter speaking, Ives? Imagine that. Well, Miss Ball has captured him, that's certain. Where should we take him?
Have you the reporter's cousin? Where is Reverend Hawthorne taking that other lassie?
Mr. Doherty, this is Mr. O'Brolocoyne.
What's that, Miss Bowles?
I thought I'd drop him here.
Will you switch that thing off, Josie? Like a good child. Get to see there's a guest checking in. And let's see. Sorry. Yes, Miss Bowles.
I was down at the station to meet a person. I mistook Mr. O'Brolocoyne here for him. He speaks Irish and he doesn't understand English.
Is Monsieur Shaharoon O'Brolocoyne?
Yes. When we'd sorted things out in the car, I said I'd drop him here at the hotel. I must be off now. Goodbye, Mr. O'Brolocoyne. Slan last.
Gurumahagot as Octon lift.
Nahabare. Oh, I think I got that right. Slan.
Well, sir, my Irish isn't great either, but. Oh, Vulture Road. You're welcome.
Gurra Margot.
Is it a single room?
Sure. August, call will if you go wished.
Where's the post office? Oh, you'll be the reporter from the Irish Times looking for Miss McConkie.
You're very welcome to Ballylane.
I am not a reporter from the Irish Times. I'm the inspector of telephones from the GPO.
Ah, well, sir, now that you express yourself in the tongue of a stranger...
Now, where's the post office?
It's only half a dozen doors down the street to your left.
Goremahagot.
And the same to you. Yeah, cock whore.
It's a much older building than anyone realizes. You can see the remains of rude buttresses here. Oh, definitely medieval.
Medieval?
These curved, muscular volutes. And such a virile elevation. Definitely monastic.
Monastic.
Fascinating. Of course, I'm interested in the 18th century. These chimney breasts, for example, must be unique.
Unique. So, there.
I shouldn't have thought so.
So, curved.
Curvilinear. Vitruvius McGarrigle made a special study of breasts and beading.
And no one could touch his groin part.
His groin...
Oh, it must be preserved. I'll write a piece for the Ulster Georgian Bulletin as well as my Times column.
Column. You know, Miss Lee Watson, it's a sensitive issue here. You may not quite realise...
Rest assured, I'll do everything possible to get your name in the
paper.
You're ahead of me every time.
Hello?
Call office here. Is that the barracks?
It is, Miss McConkie. Guard Gallagher. Is it about the gramophone?
Oh, no, it's something quite different. Myself and my sister are just after glancing out of the window of the shop. And do you know a peculiar thing? There's two people clambering about in that ruin of an old courthouse. A man and a woman, I think. I can't see with the bushes.
Would it be a matter for me or for Canon Freely? He said in his last sermon them bushes was an occasion for sin.
It's private property. Trespass.
Better take a look, so. You know what I'm going to do, Miss McConkie?
Arrest them.
I'm going to start an opera festival. Quando ripitan estasi del più cacenta d'ore.
Wonderful. But don't forget the courthouse. Those two could be up to anything. Mr. Hawthorne, I stir up an architectural hornet's nest in the paper every week.
Wait, but you see, Miss Watson, there's a very strong local body of opinion in favour of demolishing this building.
Oh, I'll report every point of view, you may be sure.
Sure, I prefer to be left out of, controversy.
Reverend Hawthorne, I describe you as a leading citizen who asks not to be quoted. They'll never guess who you are.
I'd like to know what these two are doing canoodling in this shrubbery.
What's that?
Some jokey person hiding in the ruin.
Oh, excuse me, your reverence. I couldn't see who.
I was just taking a stroll in the ruins with this lady, Miss Lee Watson.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Come here to practise the odd aria, where I wouldn't be disturbing the town, as his reverence well knows. La 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 la.
We were studying the architecture, guard.
That's all right, mister. Sure, there's a time and a place for everything, your reverence.
I was actually expecting to meet Miss Bowle here.
And why wouldn't you? It's as good a spot as any.
I hope you don't.
Isn't it a free country to do what we like in? Or to sing what we like in? Good day to you both. Sure, and no Miguel me accord. Es de primo palpita.
And will Miss McConkie answer?
I'm Miss McConkie.
Miss Vera McConkie?
Oh, my sister's inside, in the call office.
Cairt Galeor. Gwyn o'r sy'n yn tusa yn gofon y doer.
What's that?
Misha yn tyffig o gorau'n post o'r telegrafa o Bryn y Coen is enn ymdym.
You're from the GPO, I take it. Can't you speak English?
Only with considerable difficulty.
When I was going to school, the Irish language hadn't been thought of. So you'll have to perjure yourself by uttering a few blasts to the other. We were expecting a reporter from...
Don't tell
but
me.
But he'd hardly be proficient in the native tongue.
I've been trying to get through to you for days. There must be a malfunction on your switchboard there.
My switchboard's in perfect working order.
You have 10 subscribers on this exchange now, haven't you?
Number 1 is this call office. Number 2, the guards barracks. Number 3, this way
are. It's your shin. However, we have had an application for an 11th, and you know what the procedure is after 10 subscribers are exceeded on a rural manual exchange.
I get an allowance for an assistant operator, I believe.
That regulation was changed years ago. The exchange goes automatic.
Sure, then there's no need for an operator.
Come on. Your manual exchange will be closed and subscribers transferred to the automatic in Letterkenny.
Oh, Lord save us.
There will be an appropriate pension depending on your years of service.
There's no mention in my agreement about automation.
When your agreement was drawn up, automation hadn't been invented.
Mr. O'Brolicon?
Yes?
No one's going to pension me off. And no jumped-up pen pusher from the bogs of Cork is going to take my call offers off me. Muriel!
Yes, Vera?
Did you hear what this despicable article said? He's threatening to pension me off and take away my lovely mahogany switchboard.
But I thought he might be the reporter from...
Right.
You can speak your mind, Muriel. He doesn't understand a word of English.
I'll put it all in writing to you.
And you may be sure I'll be putting it in writing to your boss, the Minister for Posts and Telegraphs. No, I'd go up to Dublin on the early train and give him the full of my mind.
I'll be going then, so slow on live.
And you can tell your gang of Cork men that's running the GPO that the whole of Donegal will be camping on your doorstep if you proceed one step further.
Oh, I hate violence. But what can you expect from a civil servant?
I'll start collecting signatures tomorrow, Muriel. Hands off Ballylennon Exchange.
And you'll get massive support, Vera. Sure they all know you're the sine qua non of the switchboard.
Hello?
Oh, there's someone in the shop. Come in. Isn't that a lovely... Reverend Hawthorne.
Good evening, Miss McConkie. I wonder if my guest could make a call to Dublin on the public phone.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Just step into the call office. My sister will look after you, Mrs.
Miss R.L. Watson.
Rosalind Lee Watson. Reverend Hawthorne has just been showing me your magnificent old courthouse.
Oh, so it was you clambering about in...
Just having a little look round.
We practically got arrested, didn't we, Mr. Hawthorne? Do I go in here?
Oh, yes. Vera, Miss Watson would like to make a call.
Oh, hello. Can you get me Dublin, the Irish Times?
I can, indeed. You can take it in the booth. Where is private?
Hello, Letterkenny. Dublin, please. The Irish Times.
I'm putting you through.
Muriel.
Excuse me, Your Reverence. Coming, Vera.
Thanks. Hello. Is that you, Alec? I've got a perfectly marvellous story. Yes, a gem of a building, absolutely, in the wilds of Donegal.
Do you know who she is? I can tell you what she is. She's one of those lady reporters. Nylon stockings and no breakfast.
She's the one the Reverend met off the train.
Oh, yes, and there are the prettiest hip-jointed voussoirs and a perfectly libidinous marble piece. Oh, naturally, the Philistines of Ballylennon want to demolish it. But we can spearhead a national campaign for preservation.
Listen to the gabbins of her.
She's giving their side of the story.
But we'll give our side too, Muriel, and no mistake. Or my switchboard isn't the ever-open ears of Ballylennon.
In Episode 1 of Ballylennon by Christopher Fitzsimon, Fonsi Doherty was T.P. McKenna, Muriel McConkie was Margaret Darcy, and Vera McConkie was Stella McCusker. Vivian Bull was Anya McCartney, Guard Gallagher, John Hewitt, Reverend Samuel Hawthorne, Gerard Murphy, R.L. Watson, Roma Tomalty, and O'Bronahan, Kevin Flood. The music was arranged and performed by Stephanie Hughes, and the series is directed by Owen O'Callaghan.